For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. All right, good evening. Let's learn. Parshas Vayishlach. Okay, in order to understand what we're going to be doing in Parshas Vayishlach, we need to go back a week to the beginning of last week's Parsha Vayetze. This was one of my best arts and crafts projects of the day, putting this one together. We're going to start on side one, which is a little bit from the beginning of last week's Parsha, and then we'll fill that in moving to this week's Parsha. Last week, Yaakov leaves his mother and father's home on his way out from Beersheba to Charan. And on his way out, he has a famous dream that we're familiar with. He sleeps, he sees a ladder. That communication that the Rebbe Shlomo has with Yaakov there is actually the first time that we find Hashem actually speaking directly to Yaakov. In the beginning of last week's parasha, he grows up, and we have all these things to do with him and with Esau. But here we have the bracha that Hashem gives to Yaakov during that dream with the ladder for the first time. There are a few psukim that we will look at just very quickly. Pasuk Yud Gimel Vayomar, this is Hashem Nitzav Alav standing over him, and he says, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha Elokei Yitzchak. He introduces himself, I am Elokei Avraham Avicha Elokei Yitzchak. We have the bracha of the land. And like we find often, the two brachas that go hand in hand, the bracha of the land and the bracha of children, are the two brachas that all the avos get. So you just gave him the bracha of the land. And your children will be like afar ha'aretz. They will be like the dust of the earth. That's the bracha that Hashem gives to Yaakov as he falls asleep in Har HaMoriah. On his way to Charan uFaratz Yom Avakenu Tzavon VeNegba, and all of the families will be blessed. V'hine Anochi Imach, I will be with you. Now again, Yaakov is on his way out of Eretz Yisrael now, so Hashem promises, I'll be with you. Ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech, I will guard you wherever you will go. Hashivosicha el ha'adama hazos, I will return you to this land. Kilo ezovcha ad asher imasisi es asher dibarti lach, for I will not forsake or abandon you until I will do all that I have spoken to you. At the end of the Nevuah. That's what Yaakov gets on his way out, which in summary is the land, the Ha'aretz Asher Shochev Allah, I'll give to you. Your land will be, your children will be Ka'afar Ha'aretz, like the dust of the earth, and I will return you here, Ki Lo'e Ezovcha Ad Asher Masisi Es Asher Dibarti Lach. Okay, that was last week's Parsha. We then come to this week's parasha, Vayishlach. Yaakov is now coming back. We fast-forwarded the 20 years, plus years, that he's away. He's now coming back. He's about to meet up with Esau. He sends word to Esau, I'm coming in peace. Esau comes out to meet him with his 400 men. Yaakov is afraid. He divides up his camp, and then he offers up the following tefillah, as we begin on the left-hand side of the page. This is now the very beginning of the parasha. This is Yaakov's tefillah. Protect me. You told me to come back. There was that line at the end of last week's parasha where after he has his 11 children and 4 wives and all of his wealth, Hashem says, go home. So he does. And now he's running into Esav and he's afraid. And therefore we find on the very top of the page, Vayomer Yaakov, Elokei Avi Avram, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. What's he referring to as he begins his tefillah with that language? Elokei Avi Avraham, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. That's the exact same language that Hashem had used to introduce himself when he promised him safety. When he promised him, you'll go, you'll be safe, and I'll come back with you. Hashem ho'omer elai shuv li'artzecho l'mod l'tcha. You told me, return, which is what you had promised me originally when I left that you would. Ve'etiva imach, and I will do good with you. Katonti mikola chasidim mikola emes, and I've become now small from all of the chesed and emes, asher asizaz avdecho. Ki v'machli avadu d'adeh, because I came with nothing. Davin, save me from Esav. He's going to kill us. And now our pasuk. And you said, I will do good for you. You told me that you will place and make my children like the sand upon the sea. And what's the problem here? And he didn't say that. Our memory is for sure not as good as Yaakov. Last week's parasha in 20 years for us it's 1 week. 20 years. But what did Hashem promise Yaakov?
Kafar
Haaretz. Now we might throw these things around. What's the difference? Kochvei Hashemayim, the stars, the Sfas, the Kolayom, Afar Haaretz. They're all the same, right? The brachas of a lot of. Well, the promise. That's not what you're promised. Here you are davening, saving from Esav. You promised, Yaakov says, you're going to do good for me. It's not true. Rashi didn't miss this. Rashi says, beginning on side two there, where did he say that? Where is the promise that Yaakov, what are you referring to that you're going to make me like sand? Why are you referring to sand? It's not true. Yaakov, you were only promised Afar Haaretz. Like the dust. So Rashi says as follows. At the end of the promise that Hashem gave him in Parshas Vayetze last week, he said, I won't abandon you until I've done all that I have promised to you. That was the very last phrase in Pasuk Tezvav, last week's Parsha. Says Rashi, Ula Avraham Omar. To Avraham was promised that he will have stars of the heaven and sand. So when Hashem promised Yaakov the language of I won't abandon you until I've done everything I promised, that was this veiled reference to what he had promised your grandfather Avraham. He got a promise of stars and sand. So that Yaakov, when he says, you promised me, he's referring to that last veiled phrase of, I won't abandon you until I've done everything I've told you, and I promised Avraham like the sand, so you can use that phrase, like I promised you, like the sand. Exactly. So what Rashi's done is explain how he can get away with the words. How does Yaakov say, you promised me I'll be like the sand. Not true. Truthometer. No. Is it? You didn't say that. You were promised dust. You were not promised sand. Says Rashi. No, he was promised that. Because when Hashem said to him, I won't abandon you until I do everything I told you, that was a reference to all the things I had told you and your father and your grandfather. And your grandfather I promised like sand. So you can use it. Okay, so what Rashi does is he justifies the usage. What we're left with is the obvious question. Why? Okay, great. You could figure out that I could use the word sand because within the Ribbono Shel Olam's promise to me includes what he promised my grandfather. I could use it. But what should he have done? Go with what you were promised. You were promised like dust of the earth. So if you're promised like dust of the earth, so when you give your tefillah 20 years later and say, protect me, you promised that my children will be like, say what you were promised, you yourself. Why would you go to what your grandfather was promised if you yourself were promised to be like dust? Which leaves us with a question, which the Maharal asks, so what's the difference between being promised to be like dust of the earth versus sand of the sea that Yaakov would purposely ignore his own bracha? He was given a bracha to be like dust of the earth, and he ignores it and he says, I don't want that bracha, but to my grandfather you promised sand of the sea, that's the one that you have to keep me by. What's the difference? What do they all mean? Says the Maharal, brilliant approach. Says the Maharal as follows. Dos Yitzchesi asks a question in the first half. He suggests maybe it's the Chosavos is greater, and then he says it's not sufficient enough. So we'll move right to the underline in the second section. I'm on page 3 now. Says, you have to understand, we throw around stars of the heaven, sand on the sea, dust of the earth, as if they're all interchangeable. They all just mean big blessings. Says, there's no such thing. Why do we have these three things? What's the difference between sand, between dust, between stars? Says the Maharal, it's a dover muflag b'chachma. Ki Yisrael nizbarchu b'gimul brachot. Koch ve'hashamayim. We have the stars. We have the kechol asher osfas hayom. We have the sand. Ucha afar ha'aretz. And we have the dust of the earth. Says the Maharal, koch ve'hashamayim. What does it mean to be blessed like the stars of the heavens? Ki ribui koch ve'hashamayim. Kol echad ve'echad yesh lo shem b'fnei atzmo v'hu nispar. An idea which is oft quoted, the stars are given names. Every star is a world unto itself. It looks, from our view, of course, as being very small and far away, but in reality, every star is a unique planet. Every star is totally different than the star next to it, and it's enormous. It's a world. It's an olam mole. And Chazal understand that, as the Torah understands it, and therefore Hamotzi b'mispar tzivam uluchulam shemotzi kra. Every star gets a name. And the significance of giving a star a name is to say it is unique, it is something different, it has its own purpose, its own identity. And the bracha, the Klal Yisrael is given, that you will have children like the stars of the heaven, says the Morale, is a bracha that kol echad ve'echad yesh lo shem b'fnei atzmo. You will have children, Klal Yisrael will be a nation, there will not just be billions and billions and billions of them, but they're just these interchangeable parts that you can't even identify them, but that each one will have an identity. Each one will be unique. Each one will have a contribution. Each one will have a name. I think it's Ken Sphere, if I remember hearing it from Neish HaTorah in Yerushalayim, likes to quote that the number of Jews in the world is 13, 14, 15 million, somewhere around them, depending on how exactly we count. The number of Chinese in the world is 1.4 billion. So when you do a survey, when you try to do a census, there's always a margin of error. It's like 1.8%. What's the margin of error on 1.4 billion people? 25 million. Which means there are more Chinese that we can't find than there are Jews in the world. Like they can't find, they don't know where they are. I mean, we think. There are more lost Chinese in the world. Then, so you think in the news, it's impossible, and the Jews are in the news like they were the headline. They're more like, they're lost. We can't even find them, count them, we don't know what's with them. So there's a bracha of being every single one. There's no such thing as just being lost. There's a bracha that every single one will be noticed, will be identified, will have a name, and that's the bracha of being kikachrei hashamayim. What's the bracha of kechol asher asfasayam, says the Maral? There's no way to count it. It's impossible. Not that each one is identifiable, it's very different. Sand, every grain of sand is exactly the same as the grain of sand next to it. Not only that, but every grain of sand is intrinsically valueless. There is nothing you can do with a grain of sand. Exact opposite of a star. A star, if there would only be one star in the world, it would be of value. That one star is a world unto itself. It's an olam mole. You would give it a name. A grain of sand? A grain of sand is nothing. Literally nothing. No value. Its value comes in the enormity, the inability to count. The numbers are such that gives it a specific bracha. You have a lot of sand. You can make a sandbag. You can make a sandcastle. You could put it down on a construction site and lay the groundwork and just change the whole topography of the land just with the dirt. But it's in its numbers becomes its value. Ein mispar lo v'lo ba b'mispar. Has no number, cannot be counted. It's a bracha of ribuy. Eilu shnei dvarim lo hayu b'panecha. And in the Maral quotes, we find in different times in Jewish history, we find these different brachas. B'mei Moshe hayu nispar. And we were actually counted in the days of Moshe. There was an actual count. So that's not the bracha of Kechol Asher Asfasayam. We were counted. Here's the number, 601,500, to the number. We were given a count. So what does Moshe say? Nimshalu kekoichvei hashamayim, k'moshe amar Moshe, v'hinchem ayom kekoichvei hashamayim l'rov. Because the bracha of being like the stars is not that it's impossible to count you, it's a bracha of each one will have an identity, a name, a purpose, a goal, a task. That's the bracha of being like the stars. So Moshe, after he counts them, he doesn't say you're like the Kechol Asher Asfasayam. You just counted them. You gave them a number. So it's not that they're not countable, it's that they're like stars. Uvimei Shlomo, hayu Yehuda v'Yisrael kechol asher asfasayam. And then the days of Shlomo we find, we didn't even count. They're too many for us to count. We couldn't manage the count. That's the bracha, the fulfillment of being kechol asher asfasayam. V'chol echan maila b'fnei atzmo. Each one has its own maila. Harishon, meaning the stars, is Yoster Choshev Mitzara Chashivus. It's a bracha of Chashivus, that each member of Klal Yisrael will have that Chashivus. V'zeh, the bracha of Kechol Asher Asfasayam, Yosef Choshev Mitzad HaRiboy. That's the bracha of numbers of being enormous in magnitude. And those are two of the brachas that Klal Yisrael receives. Great. What does that leave us with? Afar Ha'aretz. So what's the bracha that we get, that Yaakov gets, which he doesn't use, but that he gets, your children will be Afar Ha'aretz. Says the Maral. Amnam, Riboy V'hoya Zaracha Ka'afar Ha'aretz, which is Yaakov's bracha, Ein Zenem Arakal Hisrabus Bilvad. That is said not on the enormity of being large, but in becoming large. Becoming Nisrabet, increasing your numbers. Shuhu Yotze Tamid El Hapal, that you're constantly coming out, Kimo Hamayan, like a wellspring. Shuhu Mosif Mayin Vinoveya Tamid, that it's constantly regenerating, it's constantly increasing, it never stops flowing. I don't need there to be a lot of water in a wellspring. I just need there to be a source that constantly replenishes and reproduces more water. I could be down to almost nothing. It might be a trickle. But it still, it continues. It flows. And there's never an end to that. The bracha of Afar Ha'aretz is like dust, literally. So, right, you dust your table, and you come back 20 minutes later, and what happens? There's more dust. You can't stop it. It exists in the world, and it always, it's like it regenerates. It comes back. So, different than the bracha of the stars, which is a bracha in numbers, but in numbers with a unique element to each one. Every Jew, every Yidin Klal Yisrael has its own shame. You have a bracha of Kechol Asher Asfati, which is just numbers. There would be so many of you. And then you have a bracha that Yaakov is given of, no matter what happens to you, no matter how much you're decimated, how much you're cut down, you will always increase. You will never stop growing. And Jewish history has been the fulfillment of this bracha. They will persecute you. They will stop you from doing what you need to be done. But then, as long as there's anything left, and the brachas, you will always have something left. From that something, you'll sprout again. That is possibly the most important bracha that we have, which is the bracha that says it always seems hopeless. It always seems throughout Jewish history, we could listen almost every single century, where people could look around and say, it's over. Klal Yisrael will never be able to recover from this. And that was true. It was said already in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, we would say that. Impossible. The impossible for us to come back from this. And then we were decimated in the Crusades. And then we were decimated in the Spanish Inquisition. And then we had the Chulniki Crusade with the Tach V'Tat. And then we had, you take it up to modern times, World War I, World War II, completely destroyed the Jewish world. You get to America, and we in modern times, we say the same thing. Impossible. Impossible. The Jewish world has been utterly destroyed. It can't possibly come back. And you have the entire conservative movement, which was the only survival method. Orthodoxy in America, dead in the water. It's impossible. And we're living already, just fast forwarded, where we say, like, it's hard for me. To imagine a time we would say, like, Orthodoxy doesn't have a prayer to survive because it's the strongest, most flourishing, it's just exploding. But it wasn't that way. And it wasn't the first time in Jewish history that that's the way that it was in the 1940s and 50s and 60s in the States. It's been that way almost every century you can point to it. The bracha of Afar Ha'aretz is not a blessing of numbers, dust of the earth. It's a bracha that says there'll always be something left. And from that something, it'll come back. We're living in the post-Holocaust generation. What more of a look then you need then this bracha. Literally out of the ashes. There was nothing. Europe is destroyed. And to imagine, my grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, used to always say, he's sitting at a simcha of a great grandchild, saying like, and he would see, speak every single simcha, and he would say, I can't, like 60 years ago, it's not even looking like historically over 500 years. 60 years ago, we came out of the war with nothing. No parents, no family, no home, no life. And we end up in these foreign countries, in France, doesn't speak the language. You end up in America, don't speak the language. And to think that in 50 years in my lifetime, I would have great-grandchildren, Shomrei Torah Mitzvah, is impossible. That's the bracha of Ahaya Zaracha Ka'afar Ha'aretz. Your children will be like dust of the earth. You wipe it away, and it comes back. And you clean it again, and you can't stop it. You can't stop its growth. Klal Yisrael is like that ember that you can't put it out. There's always that phrase we like to talk about, the pintle yid. It's true on a national level. It's always there, and it will always be fanned into a flame again, and it will be pressed down, and then it comes back. And that's the bracha of Afar Ha'aretz, which means that it's not a bracha of numbers, says Morel. It's a bracha of the concept of becoming large, not that you are large, but you will always be on the way towards becoming large. They may push you down, and you'll come back. Says the Morel again, inside. Brachas kazos ein dover v'pol. It's not a bracha that it is in numbers that you will have a lot. Rakasher tamid hu mosif v'ol holeh. We're always recreating, regrowing whatever was cut down. Kasher yikachelek echad, you take away one part of us, odesh chelek balacher, we have another part that will sprout forth from it. Ein gvul v'tachlis, there's no end, there's no border, we, Torah, Yiddishkeit, will always come back. Dover zeinu mitzad his pashtu shavri, it's not from numbers, rak mitzad ha-hisrabus, but becoming large. Where that spring, it's always just from underneath the ground, just always bursting forth. Let's say we have only a few numbers coming out of the Holocaust, let's say modern times again. We're cut down to 6 million Jews left, or 12 million in the whole world. We're the smallest we've been in centuries. So the bracha of Kechol Asher Asfasiyam is not fulfilled. We're like the sand. We're not like the Kechol Chvei Hashemayim. But the bracha of Kafaras, that always applies. Whatever you came down to, but you'll always grow back. Shemehem Yavo Acherim V'Yosef Tamid. There'll be others after you, and they will be Mosef. Shehareyim bracha Zuraki Ein Gvulem. There's no boundary. There's no border. Lo Yavul. You can't put him down. As opposed to the bracha of the sand, there's an actual numbers. If Klal Yisrael will be small, that bracha is not fulfilled right now. There are times in our history where we have not fulfilled the bracha of Kikoch Ve'ashemayim, we have not fulfilled the bracha of Kikol Asher Svasayam, but we always have the bracha of Ka'afar Ha'aret, that will come back. Lochein habracha kafar ha'aretz she'ein kan harchava rak mitzad hadakus, as he has said. Now, he doesn't spell it out. So therefore, where's Yaakov right now in history? Where's he called? He's about to fight Esav. He's got 11 children. And what's he afraid of?
Annihilation.
What's that?
Annihilation.
Annihilation. So he's got to choose his weapon. He says to Ribbono Shel Olam, you promised. And he's got three brachas to choose from. He can say, you promised I would be like the Kechvei HaShemayim. You promised the Chol Asher HaSvasayam. And you promised me personally Ka'afar Ha'aretz. Says Moral, well, his bracha of Afar Ha'aretz, that would be a bracha that says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you only have to leave one of me. Just leave one. If you leave one, then I'll be able to grow back from that. Well, is that what I want to daven for right now? I got 11 children. These are my 11 children from which Klal Yisrael is going to come. I'm not willing to part with some of them. I'm not willing to say, you promise that even if you decimate me and you knock me down from 11 to 3 or even 1, that I'll grow back. Uh-uh. These are my kids. These are mine. These are the ones that I want. The bracha of Afar Ha'aretz just says, we'll sprout, we'll grow. I'm not giving up on these. So I could say, Kikoich Ve'ashamayim. He says, I don't even need that. I'm not even davening for them because each one is great and each one is unique and each one is a shame unto itself. But Kikoich Asher Al-Sfasayim that I have in numbers, I'm not willing to give up on any single one of them. And therefore, says the Morel, Afar Ha'aretz is out. He's not interested in that bracha. That's the one that he was given, but he doesn't care about that right now. That's just a bracha that says, Esav can decimate half of my camp. He can decimate 3/4 of my camp. I'll come back. I'm not willing to give up on them. So then the Ra'al says the next line, Umashlo hizkir kekoichet. So go with the stars of the heaven. Osa bracha lo shaycha. That's not shaych. Sharei bo loymar mipneshin is barach beribuy kechol asher asvasayam. The fact that I want the numbers of the sand, yehu vizaro nishmaro minachison. I want to be protected from being knocked down. That's only said that each one will be unique. He's not interested in uniqueness right now. He's interested in his kids. Lo al ribuy. That's the most appropriate, and therefore he says, you said you'll protect me and my children will be kechol asher asfasi. I'm borrowing a bracha from Avraham to say that's the bracha that I need. I will need to protect every single one of the ones in front of me. We can speak on a cosmic level, quality show, the bracha of Afar Haaretz is the most important bracha maybe we've ever had. It's the bracha that is, that's why we're here, because no matter what's been cut aside, always regenerates. Torah always comes back no matter what we've been through, and Jewish history has been quite a minefield, but we always come back. But to an individual Jew, he doesn't. Yaakov's not saying the bracha of Afar Haaretz, which is his bracha. These kids are the ones that I want. So for these kids, Kechol Asher Asfasim, you gave me numbers, you gave me a lot of them, and each one matters. And that's the one that I'm not willing to give up on, so you have to protect me, therefore specific Kechol Asher Asfasiyam. So says the Maral, why Yaakov switches the bracha from what he was actually given to the one that he feels is most appropriate to protect him from his brother Esav. Okay, that's the Maral section.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.